We welcome you today. You glad to be here?
Amen.
And happy Resurrection Sunday to you today, all over the world. In fact, we've already gotten a word from over in Nigeria. They're have been worshiping there. Yesterday, they had a service yesterday afternoon with our team. And for those of you that are guests here today, we sent out several from our church. One was our worship leader, Brother Gary, and his daughter Maya, and Dr. O'Carey, others that went from the United States, and they'll be there all week. And so please be praying for them this week. It's good to see you today. I hope you feel that. I hope you feel the welcome, and I hope you feel the presence of God who is here with us today, joining in as we have worshiped His name. I've been thinking about the resurrection, of course, a lot. On this day, Christians all over the world celebrate this one day every year as we celebrate the risen Lord Jesus. It's made me ask some questions, though, and have three questions today I'm going to ask about the resurrection. Because I've been out surfing the net this week, I looked for skeptics. I looked for people that disagreed with me about the resurrection. And face it, all of you sitting here at one time or another have been a skeptic. In fact, some of you seated here today, you may have some serious questions about the resurrection. You may be asking some of those vital questions. Was it real? Did it really happen? Do we have evidence for that? Who can you believe? So today I'm going to read a story, the story of the resurrection. We're going to read it out of Luke, and then we're going to ask these questions. Luke 24. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking spices that they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in. But they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified. They bowed with their faces to the ground. And then these men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what He told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and He would rise again on the third day." Then they remembered that He had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell His 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up, ran to the tomb to look, and stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. And then he went home again, wondering what had happened. Now, I have three questions I want to ask you today. The first is this: what if Christ did not rise from the dead? Have you thought about that before? The implications of that. Well, first thing that comes to my mind, if that had not happened, that He and we are liars of the first degree. Everything we're doing here today is a lie. Everything that any church does in the whole earth and has done for 2,000 years is a lie. Think about it. There would be no Bible, for this would be rubbish. Not worth the paper that it's printed on or the digital space that it takes up on your computer. There'd be no church. There'd be no changed life. None of that. We will have lied about every promise that we've ever made if there's no resurrection of Jesus. Everything we've said would have been a lie. We will have been shown to be the distributors of fake news for 2,000 years. Think about it. Think about it. Second thing, what if Christ had not risen from the dead? Well, we will have let down the whole world. I want to just mention a few things that would not be today if there had not been a resurrection of Jesus. Now think about that. Now, about half of us here are women. Women, would you raise your hands, please? There. All right. We love you, ladies, and you're beautiful today. You're beautiful. I'm glad I got an amen. Let me give you one more chance. Those of you men that are sitting next to them, ladies, you're beautiful today. Amen. I even got a hallelujah on that. Somebody might be in the doghouse. Just think of the place of women in the earth. It is Jesus that raised women. No other culture has done that. No other religion has done that. It is Jesus. The real Jesus. The resurrected Jesus that did that. Think about all the hospitals all over the earth. How many hospitals were begun by Christians? Whoo! Everywhere. All in our city. How about universities? Who started those? Most of them. Go back in history. Do a little homework. You'll find out. It was these Christ followers. These people who knew that Jesus had indeed risen from the dead. There would be no redemption and lift. Think about all of the things in society. What we talk about, this concept of redemption, which means buying back and lift. All the things. Things have happened in business. Whole ethics departments. Look at some countries around the world today. If you want an example of what it's like without Jesus, look at the countries that stamp out Jesus. That try to stamp out Jesus and His resurrected life. Look what is there. You're faced with a stark reality. Human rights, out the window. The list goes on. What if Christ had not risen from the dead? Third reason. We're lost without a Savior. We are separated from God for all eternity. There would be no forgiveness. There would be no true love. There would be no substitutionary death, someone taking your penalty for you. There would be no grace and mercy. Because, you see, these things are not concepts that you just drag out of the air and make up out of the human mind and heart. These are real things. Love, unconditional love, is real. And it has to have a real source and a real power. In our hearts, we would know that we were guilty. There would be no sin bearer for us. And so we would stand guilty and separated, helpless and hopeless. Think about it. So a second question I bring to you about the resurrection. Why should I believe that that Jesus rose from the dead? Why should I believe the story that Pastor Dusty just read from one of the gospel accounts about the resurrection? Why should I believe it? Well, first of all, because the tomb was empty. He was dead. That was verified. That was validated. It was validated by the Sanhedrin. It was validated by the Jewish leadership at the time. It was validated by Herod. It was validated by Pilate, the Roman government. It was validated. These guys were professional executioners via crucifixion. They knew what they were doing. He was dead. He was dead as a doornail. He was dead as a hammer when they took him off of that cross. Think about it. So when they laid him in the tomb, it was in the government's interest to make sure that he stayed dead. In other words, that his body stayed in that tomb. Roman soldiers were there to guard. And no doubt, there were watchers from the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leadership, that were closely attuned to this situation. Because yes, it was very much in their self-interest that the body would remain there. Yet 3 days later, what do we see? We see an empty tomb. And note, if you read the Matthew account, read the other gospel accounts about the resurrection, they were not arguing that he did not die. That swoon theory, all that garbage, that came later as the redactors of history come and try to change things around. Oh, that came much later. But at the time, the people there that knew the facts, that had eyes on the situation, no one argued that he was dead and then the body was gone. What they paid off the guards to say, the guards who had witnessed this, the stone rolling away and the angels there and all of that that happened, they were paid off to say that the disciples had stolen his body. A lie. A lie. The tomb was empty. Secondly, why should I believe that he rose from the dead? Because his enemies could not produce a dead body. That's all they had to do, right? Simple thing, right? Died on the cross. We put him in the grave. They say he's risen from the dead. All you got to do is produce the dead body. Come on, Pilate. Herod, where are you? Sanhedrin, you 70 thinkers of the law, and you know so much. The greatest empire on the face of the planet. And they couldn't produce a dead body. Which brings us to our next point. Why should I believe that he rose from the dead? You know, because it wasn't a dead body that they kept seeing. What was it? A live body. Eyewitnesses. Man, one time, 500 people saw him at one time. And by the way, I've read them since I was a teenager who dispute this book. And by the way, it is one book, but it's a collection of 66 books. So when we read the gospel accounts, we're reading how many accounts of the resurrection? Four. It's not one source, it's four. You look at all, we've got 27 books of the New Testament that are written with the assumption that what happened? That he rose from the dead. Look at all the other literature of the day that was written. What was the assumption? He arose from the dead. Come on. I've got a degree in history. This wouldn't stand up. This garbage, this out, that wouldn't stand up in court, because the mounting evidence from eyewitness accounts, he was dead. He's alive. Fact. And much as people in the world today try to massage facts and spin them with their little grubby typewriters and computer keyboards, much as that happens in our day, it didn't start in the United States of America. It's been going on for a long time. Now, this flashlight is a great illustration of hollow religion. Dave gave me this flashlight about a year ago. It's beautiful, isn't it? I mean, connoisseurs of flashlights. I mean, I love flashlights. I have a flashlight fetish. It's even got a little clip on it. It's in my favorite color for flashlights. It's black. But imagine this flashlight as a representative of man's hollow religion. What if there would be no resurrection of the dead? Then this flashlight would lack the one thing required for a flashlight to produce. And what is that? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, I press the button. Woo, we've had a power shortage. Young Will, Jackson, I'm going to award you an honorary PhD today. A doctor of flashlights. Because you see, oh, you're not getting this one, son. You see, this flashlight has to have power to work. Christianity is not just a religion. It's a relationship with the living God. And it's real because it's powered by the one who came and died in our place, was buried, and rose on the third day. So what does the resurrection mean in my life today? Number one, there's hope that my life can change. That little simple word called hope. What does every petty dictator on the face of the planet for all the eons of history, what has he always tried to stamp out in the human spirit? Hope. Hope. And when the New Testament uses the word hope, it's not a maybe. It's a definite thing. It's real because it's based on the real, living, risen, coming again Lord Jesus. Second, there's help. Help for me to live life to the fullest. I'm not going through this life alone. I have someone who'll come into my life and change me from the inside out. I'm not the same person anymore, because the Lord Jesus came to take up residence in my life. And my life is different today because of it. Number three. And there is a guaranteed hereafter for all who receive Him as Lord. Folks, it's not just life now. It's life forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. How many forevers was that? Amen. So be it. It's guaranteed. For God so loved the world that He gave His unique one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, will not die, will not be separated forever. But He will give life. John would later describe it as life more abundant. The abundant life forever with Him. Stories told about an African Muslim who became a Christian. Now wrap your mind around that. Muslim, become a Christian. And by the way, that's happening in millions of lives, Muslim lives, in the Middle East right now. You won't hear that on CNN or Fox. His friends came to him and he asked them, why have you decided to follow Jesus, to become a Christian? You're leaving all of this, your religion, you're leaving it behind, and you will be a pariah in the sight of all those of your family and friends. Here's his answer. Let me quote it to you. He said, well, it's like this. He says, suppose you were going down a road and suddenly you came to a fork in the road. And at the fork in the road, there were two men, one standing in each fork. In one fork was a dead man. In the other was a live man. Whose directions would you listen to? We're standing at a fork in the road. I've presented to you today the claims of Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. You can put every other claim in that other fork, because none of them has a founder, has a Savior that is alive. This one was dead and then came back to life. He defeated sin, Satan, and death when He arose from the dead. I'm inviting you today to take your instruction, your directions from the live man. When you came in today, you received a little yellow card, and I'm going to invite you to use that at this time. It looks something like this. If you have never received Jesus Christ into your life, I'm inviting you today to receive Him as the Savior of your life. He'll come into your life and He'll change you from the inside out. I'm inviting you to choose Him today. I want to lead us in a prayer in just a moment. And we're going to open the altar. And Brother Rick and Brother Dane will be down here with me. And we would love to pray with you. If you're too bashful to come down here for that, I want you to fill that card out and let us know what's happening in your life. And if today you're choosing today to receive Jesus into your life, please put it on that card. The only eyes that will see that card, you're looking at two of them right here, and the other four will be standing on either side of me, Dane and Rick. We're the only ones who see those cards. We'll keep your confidence. But we want to hear from you. And especially today, if you have never received Jesus. And maybe today, you'd like to extend the conversation about Him a little bit more. Put that on there. Say, I'd like to talk. I'd like to talk. We'll carry that conversation on with you. And we'll investigate together. Do we understand one another? Let's pray. Now, Lord, we thank You. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for Your presence here right now. We're asking You, Lord. We're asking You. Speak to our hearts. Come, Spirit of God. Let us feel Your presence. Lord, some of us in this room have dwelt in skepticism for a long time. Even some of us, Lord, that have the outward appearance of trusting You. But Lord, we've got questions. Lord, I pray today that we can bring our questions to You and find those solid answers. And know, Lord, that You are real and You are really with us. You are really speaking to us right now. We give You this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now as Mike plays, we'll be in an attitude of prayer. The altar is open. If you'd like to come and pray with one of us or sit right where you are, this is your time. If you'd like to get those cards from you today, there's a basket in the back. I want to make sure it's behind the lily there, and two up front here. And if you'd like to bring them now, the cards, and if you have an offering to bring, you can bring that too. Basket in the back or up here. This time we'll receive those from you. I'm so glad to have my two grandsons here today, Finley and Rory, and they brought their parents with them too. Do y'all feel like chopped liver yet? But the paterfamilias and his wife, my former daughter. So glad to have y'all. So glad to see y'all. James here. James back here. Ms. Pelote. So many of you here today. We bless you and thank the Lord that you have been here and shared this time of celebration with us. Now we're going to continue it out of, on our property out in Georgetown. 20. Put it in your in your phone. You put everything else in that phone. 2031 Grove Point Road, right next to the fire station in Georgetown. That's where we'll be, and we'll have plenty to eat. Going to enjoy the balance of the afternoon out there. So come and join us today. Please do not be reluctant to join with us. We'll have a good time together. The Lord bless you. Yeah, bring your launch it. What, don't? Whenever you can get out there. We're going to start whenever you get there. Oh, you're the puppet. Corey's got his arm up your back and making you talk. Oh, I see how it is now. Put your arm away. Let's see if she can talk by herself. Is that good enough, Dane? You want to stand up and take a bow? Okay. I know some of you think, man, I hope he doesn't say that to me. Please, please. This is Kayla. Her question was, or Corey's question was, what time should we be out there? Well, going out there, we're shooting for 1 o'clock, but you know how it is. We'll eat when you get there. It's kind of like when a worship service starts in Nigeria. It'll start when we get there. So come on out and bring your lawn chairs, and I'm going to give you a test now. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Oh, man. You passed. Yes. Let's give the Lord a hand. Praise the Lord. And if you haven't met Sarah's in-laws, the councilman family, please greet them today before they leave and make them feel at home. Let's pray together. Now, Lord, we ask you, send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the love of the Lord Jesus, and the authority of God our Father. Lord, we celebrate you this day. You are risen indeed, and we bless your name. Amen.